This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anyway, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline to talk some basketball. A lot of it. J.R. Bremmer has played in the NBA. He's played all over the place. He's been helping with college athletes. And now he's coming home to Cleveland Heights to be the head coach of his alma mater, a place he won a state championship with in 1997. It's a great story. J.R., welcome to the show, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me.
I first have to ask, I'm sure you watched the finals last night. Was there just no chance that Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors could put up a legitimate fight to win that game? I know that Steph put up 47, but it just didn't look like they had enough offense. Did you ever think they had a legit shot to win that game yesterday?
It was some points in the game where I thought they might do the classic Golden State comeback, but Steph put on a show and he did what he was supposed to do. But every time they got within seven or eight, Toronto would hit a big three, whether it was Kyle Lowry or Danny Green or Van Fleet. So it was tough. They fought hard. They fought to the end, but those other guys hit big shots for Toronto.
I mean, I'm just watching the guys that were playing for the Warriors. And again, we started off the show saying nobody in Cleveland is going to feel bad for the Warriors because of the guys they were missing. We went through this in 2015 when Kevin Love and Kyrie were out, and you had to rely on guys like Matthew Dellavedova to play some big minutes. But last night, Jarebko was 1 of 6. McKinney, 18 minutes, 1 of 4. Bogut had to play 22 minutes and was all right. They just did not have the ammo last night, I didn't think, JR.
No, I don't think they had it either. And then put those guys in that situation where they're not used to playing those type of minutes and you're in the NBA Finals, it's not easy. So I think they'll have a better game for game four because they know the minutes they're going to have to play and know what they need to do. But they didn't look too good at all yesterday.
Think the Raptors have a chance to win the whole series?
I do. They've been playing great basketball since Kawhi hit their shot versus Philly. So yeah. They're confident. The role players are stepping up, and that's what you need to win the championship. When your main guys aren't getting it going, the role players take over for them.
J.R. Bremmer, join us on the hotline. You're somebody who played with LeBron James on a particular Cavs team. You're watching Steph Curry. You've seen Kevin Durant, Kawhi, all these great players now with the league that has totally changed from the days that you played. I don't want to date you too much, but obviously the league's evolving. You also played against Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. How do you stack up all these guys? Because it seems like after every playoff game, we're now having a discussion, I didn't even mention James Harden, of where all these guys stack up, not just now in the NBA, but historically in the NBA.
It's hard to say because, again, like you said, the game has changed so much since I was playing. It's more of a guards league now and shooting the three-point shot. When I came in, you had your pure point guards with Jason Kidd and Gary Payton and Sam Cassell. So the game is different. The game is completely different. It's faster. They shoot a lot more. The bigs are more athletic, and they can step out to the three. So it's hard to compare because the eras are just so different.
Do you think the game will ever go back to a point, JR, where it's more like it was in the 80s and 90s?
Personally, I don't think so because now with all the training and things that's going on, everybody's working on the ball handling and they're shooting at a young age. And as you look into the college, you rarely see the post up five. Everybody's picking pop and spotting up at the three. So I don't see it going back anytime soon.
J.R. Bremmer, join us on the hotline. Let me ask you this, J.R. October 29th, 2003. Does that date mean anything to you?
October 29th, 2003. That was my first game, I believe.
Okay. And you know who else's first game it also was?
Yeah, that was I would say our first game, the Cavs, me and LeBron.
All right, so I've never heard you tell this story, and that game, I mean, people here remember because it was the Sacramento Kings. Sacramento Kings, one of the best teams in the NBA. They were high flying offense. They had guys like Peja Stojakovic, Vlade. They had Mike Bibby, Doug Christie. They had Brad Miller on that team. And they were one of the most exciting teams in the NBA. And here comes LeBron James in his first game, number one overall pick. Everybody's wondering, what kind of player is this? Is this going to be a transcendent superstar? Is this going to be an all-star? Is he going to be a draft pick bust? Like, what is he going to be? And he comes out that first game, and I thought he was the best player on the floor. Now, you weren't too shabby either. You scored 20 points. You were 7 of 13. But he had 25 points in his debut, 9 assists and 6 boards. Can you tell us what that day was like from start to finish?
Oh, the day was crazy. Because, you know, going into Sacramento, like you said, they were one of the best teams in the league that year, predicted to go deep into the playoffs. And we were like in the rebuilding stage with LeBron coming in and the number one pick. So just from the beginning to the when you wake up, the atmosphere, the energy was just very, very high because everybody wanted to see LeBron. And you're in Sacramento. They had some of the best fans in the league during that time. So everybody was coming to support them. But for him to come out and have that 25-9, it was amazing because he had that attitude, just never back down. And he had the confidence in himself that he could play at this level like he was playing in the high school level. And he came out and showed it. So but we knew that he had that in practice. We saw him every day in practice. We saw the skill set and the mind that he had. So we knew he was going to come out and have a good game as long as he didn't let the nerves get to him, and they definitely did.
But now I want to know, because the year before, we all knew the story about John Lucas, and the Cavs got in trouble because they were inviting LeBron James to some pickup games, and we had heard these urban legends that this 18-year-old kid was dominating an NBA pickup game. And then we saw what happened in Summer League. I mean, he took the first pass, and he, like, windmill dunked in Summer League. Did you really know he could go out and perform like that, like day one, that he was going to be ready for prime time to that level?
Yeah, I mean, I followed him in high school, so I knew that the talent level that he had. And then when our first practice after I got traded to Cleveland, it was just, you can see it. You can just see it in his eyes. You can see it in his walk. His confidence was always high. So, I mean, I believe that he was going to be great. I didn't know how great to the level that he's at now, which is very impressive. But you knew that he had something special with him.
Best player from Cleveland Heights, J.R. Bremmer, Damon Stringer, or Theo Dixon?
Best player from Cleveland Heights, Damon Stringer.
Really?
Yeah.
Even over yourself, huh?
Yeah. Damon, he was one of the guards that I looked up to when I was coming up. You know, he set the bar high for the incoming guards, and he taught us a lot, and I followed his lead.
Mr. Basketball as well. Obviously, yeah. The lineage is there. I want to talk to you about Cleveland Heights in a second, but before we get to that, Zion Williamson is coming out. I think the comparisons to LeBron are a little silly, and I think they're unfair, but from just a we've-never-seen-a-guy-like-this perspective, I think we've never seen another guy like this. I think that's where the comparisons are with LeBron James. But I do you expect him to come into the league and do the things that LeBron James is doing?
No, I don't expect that at all. I don't expect that at all. He's a great player, and I think he was a really good college player. I think the comparisons come because he's around the same size as LeBron, as height and build and strong and athletically wise, but I don't think he'll be able to come in and impact year one like LeBron did and continue that impact. He has a lot of things to work on, which he definitely will because he's a young kid. But you get the comparisons, which sometimes are fair, but that's what they come with the territory. They have to compare him to someone, and LeBron is kind of the mold.
J.R. Bremmer, join us on the hotline. Really curious about, obviously you're paying attention to the Cavs, and the Cavs here are in a transition mode. They still have somebody like Kevin Love, who they're hoping to get healthy for this upcoming season. Colin Sexton kind of dazzled towards the end of the year. The last few months of the year, he looked like a different player than he was at the start of the year. But what do you think of the coaching hire? You're someone who's going to be doing some coaching now as a head coach at your alma mater. John Beilein is coming from the college game. Do you think a guy like John Beilein, all those years in college and at different levels of college, can come into the NBA and make a difference? Would you listen as a player to a guy like John Beilein?
Yeah, I mean, you have to listen because you look at his resume and how hard he's worked to get to where he is now. He came up and he worked hard from in high school to small Division I colleges all the way up to Michigan, and now he's made it into the NBA. And I think that that hard work is going to help the guys believe in him, and especially with what Toronto is doing into the finals of their first year head coach, who didn't have a wasn't an NBA head coach before this. So I think they're going to buy into it. They got the young pieces. They got a good draft slot, and Kevin Love coming back healthy. I think they'll be a lot better this year than they were last year.
Who do you think benefits the most, JR, on the Cavs' current roster with John coming in and replacing Larry Drew as head coach?
I'm not sure because I don't really know John's philosophies and, okay. and how he runs things. So I couldn't tell you who will benefit the most until I see like his philosophies and how he wants to play and things like that.
JR, I want to talk to you about coming home to your alma mater, a place where, you know, you accomplished so many things. A former coach who recently passed away, Jim Cappelletti, was obviously a tough story for you, but it also seemed to motivate you to want to go back to your alma mater and try to achieve some of the same things. He's one of the best coaches in the history of the Buckeye State in high school.
Definitely one of the best, and he was a mentor for me growing up, so it hit hard when he passed away. Luckily, I got a chance to see him when my jersey got retired, and we got to talk a little bit. That pretty much made my decision to come over to Heights and take over and try to follow his lead, follow his mold, because we learned so much, and he showed me so much about basketball. And I think it was just right. I think it was destined that I come in. It's like perfect timing.
Now, aside from, it looks like the high school boys are wearing the shorts way shorter than you guys were. Back in your day, you guys were like modeling after the Fab Five, and now they've gone the complete opposite direction to where these shorts, I mean, they almost can't even wear them outside on the basketball floor. I get a little nervous of what could happen out there. Other than that, have high school kids changed at all? Do you think they're different from when you were playing?
Yeah, I think they're a lot different because so much outside distraction they have now with the social media and video games and all those other things that can affect how hard you work and how much work you put in for the craft that you love. So I'm trying to instill the work ethic into my guys as much as I can, trying to push them as hard as I can. You know, you work the is going to be everybody's. All the teams are talented. A lot of players in the Northeast Ohio are talented, but the ones that rise above the crop are the ones that put the extra work in and give 100% every time they're out there.
In what way has AAU changed what you see at the high school level?
I mean, there's so many tournaments and teams in AAU. It's hard to even take in. Because when I played AAU, maybe it was four or five teams in the city, and now it's an AAU tournament every weekend for the whole summer, except for this month when it's a down month. So it's changed drastically. It's like more scouting and more players are getting seen on the AAU circuit than they are at the high schools.
All right, Jared, last question. I know that in the college basketball landscape, things have totally changed. We know there was an investigation and FBI was looking into it, and now obviously the NCAA is looking into it where you have players transferring, you have players, we know about all the money situations behind the scenes. What about high school now? There seems to be more transfers in the state of Ohio than ever before, and that's just becoming part of the landscape of high school. Are you against that, or do you think it's better that players can get even better opportunities from being able to switch to a different school for whatever personal reasons there might be?
For me, it's all about the kids and what makes them happy and what the best situation is for them that they can progress and get better and hopefully eventually get to college and earn a scholarship. So I wouldn't say I'm against it. I wouldn't say I'm for it, but it's just like the times have changed. Like you said, from when we played in high school, kids now they like to play with each other. When we were coming up, we wanted to play against each other. So and the NBA is the same way. Like those guys are going together, and before those guys wanted to hurt each other. So it's just an era, I think, and the times are changing, but I wouldn't say against it or for it. I would just say whatever's the best situation for the kid where his family and himself thinks that he would do the best, that's where he should go if he can.
All right, JR, what a story. I think a lot of people are going to be following this. Good luck with your team. Good luck with your squad. I don't know if you're having voluntary workouts and you want the guys to be there to the weightlifting sessions, but we appreciate you coming out. You're a great ambassador and representative of local Northeast Ohio basketball, and we wish you all the best of luck at your alma mater.
I appreciate it. Thanks again for having me.
All right, there he is, J.R. Bremmer.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.